Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty Wyatt of Corumbeo Church and Chris Hemmelman of First City Church.
Whoa, First City.
Every Wednesday, we all sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the art of asking good questions.
It's the fourth Wednesday. That means the topic is leadership. And in this podcast, we just try to help you be a better leader, whether you are currently leading in a large capacity or a small capacity. All of us need to grow in our capacity to lead. And one crucial aspect of leadership, especially when it comes to discipleship and spiritual formation, is question asking. It's taken me a long time in life to learn the value of this. I am a command kind of leader. I just want to tell people what to do and expect them to get it done. I generally will just say, go do that. Like when I'm coaching church, I had to get trained in coaching church planters. And this guy who trained us, who's one of the most brilliant sort of executive coaches that I've ever met, the training was you are not allowed to make a declarative statement in a 1 hour conversation. The only thing you may do is ask questions that have question marks at the end. And he made us like practice like live, you know, role playing. And it was just really hard. It's just, I would be like, Mike, shouldn't you do this? You know, basically like turn my command into a question. So the art of asking good questions has been something the Lord has sort of taught me over time, and I'm still growing in it. But especially if you're listening to this podcast and you're a part of a gospel community, you're leading a gospel community, you're trying to invest in a sort of group context in spiritual formation, man, asking good questions is so critical. It's the difference between people receiving something as just information and receiving insight. And those two things are really different and really importantly different.
I think one of the best ways that I learned this and am learning this is seeing the difference between when you often you tell somebody something as opposed to asking questions, and insight starts to come and the Spirit starts to work. And it's not so much that you tell them something, but it's they've come to realize something. And so some of that, you know, you can ask leading questions, which is not necessarily bad, but
isn't it true, Chris, that the Spirit's showing you X, Y, Z?
Yes.
That would be like a leading question.
That would be a leading question.
Chris, don't you feel like
isn't it true?
Don't you feel like God's showing you right now?
You should.
I feel like the Lord's moving you on from Corumbeo.
but it is an interesting thing when you see somebody come to a conclusion that you know that you could have just told them and you can maybe see. But part of being a leader is, you know, having the forethought to help them and walk with them to that conclusion. But then also sometimes you may think you know what's best for them, but after asking a number of good questions, you realize, oh, wait, my assessment of the situation isn't as good as it could have been. And so even asking questions helps you from presuming that you know exactly what this person needs.
Well, asking good questions, you know, you have to, one, listen to what they're saying to ask good questions. And what you said, Chris, about being aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing, you must be prayerfully present. This goes back weeks ago when we were talking about being present. You have to be present to ask good questions. You can't just come in with I have my five questions that I always ask each time, and these are going to work each time. You have to be listening and asking the Spirit, hey, what questions should I be asking right now?
So theologically, one of the things that helps us ask good questions, that helps us convictionally get to that place, is the realization that, A, the Holy Spirit is at work all around us in everyone's soul. Mm-hmm. So assuming that I'm coming into a situation where the Spirit's already doing something, and I just get to discover what it is. And then, two, experiencing the joy of discovery, like realizing, man, it's fun and honoring to people when I get to sort of, there's a gospel-driven curiosity that says, I want to know what God's doing in your life. I want to draw out the things that you're wrestling with. I want to not come in with an agenda and what I think you should do, but I want to cultivate curiosity. Mm-hmm. Say, what's God up to here? And how do I just, as you said, in a way that's present and just offering myself, how do I participate in what God's doing here by drawing out what the Spirit's doing in this moment? Dusty, you recently led a redemption group immersion, and question asking is core to
redemption groups in general. So you've been doing a lot of thinking on this subject recently.
Yeah, there's when it comes to questions, I'm always intrigued by that curiosity thing that you're talking about. I think people are genuinely cared for when you're curious.
Yeah.
Just because if you think about your normal day, you know, like it's not like you're engaging in conversation that's actually really thoughtful and caring. And so if you can ask curious questions where you genuinely care about people, then that changes the trajectory of everything, really, at least the conversation. And so one of the rules that I've been trying to have for my own self here is to not ask questions that I don't actually need information on, and really trying to stop myself just from asking questions to keep conversation going, but to start asking questions that I actually care about, because I think the recipient or the answer to those questions knows if I'm caring or not, or if I'm just buying time, you know? So
our friend Gary Nebaker is really good at this. Like sometimes he'll just sit there in silence for 5 or 10 seconds and it sort of makes you like, what are you doing right now? Like you're obviously not just keeping the conversation going. Like you're about to load up a really good question. Yeah. You know, like I always feel that with Gary. He's very good at question asking. Let's talk about what it means to love one another in gospel community. So most of the people who are listening to this podcast who are a part of Cormdeo are a part of a gospel community. Why is question asking, not just from the leader to other people, but from person to person, why is question asking so important if we're really going to be a community of spiritual formation?
I think, you know, in the average gospel community, so many times we're just giving a superficial answer initially. I think it's easy to give, Christianese answers, if you will. And so question asking gives us opportunities to get deeper underneath those superficial answers, to get at the heart of things.
I think it's also helpful to think through this as a level of how we're committing to each other and how we express commitment to each other. So think of last week and talking about church membership, and a piece of that is being committed to a local body. And when I come in with just a desire to make declarative statements and tell you what I think and tell you what you should believe and tell you what you should do and here's what the Bible says, that is very much about me, and I'm expressing my ideas, and it's just very me focused. Asking questions becomes much more other focused because you're saying, I'm committed to you. I want you to grow as a disciple. I love you. I want to care for you. And so let me walk alongside. Let me help you. And as you process and think through and grow, and what is the Spirit doing right in this moment? And so it's just radically others focused. And when you have a group of people in a room doing that, it's a very beautiful expression of love and commitment to one another.
What keeps us from asking questions? Other things other than just, I don't know how. Are there fear or pride issues that keep us from doing that?
I think one of the things is just, we don't genuinely care. I mean, to be frank, yeah. Like I think in a gospel community setting, like sometimes I care and sometimes I don't care. Like, you know, like in a community, there's certain people you jive with. There's certain people that annoy you. There's certain people. And so I think when the Spirit is present and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are present in the people, then there's a genuine love and a genuine care that creates a sense of trust, that creates a sense of curiosity, that creates a sense of formation, which keeps it from being lame. But I don't think that's always there.
So if I'm not a good question asker, I need to maybe confront a lack of love, mm-hmm. or just start with the question, do I actually love the people that are here and care right. about seeing them grow in Christ?
Yeah. Am I here punching the clock and I'm gone at 8 o'clock, or am I here to fully invest and to care and be curious?
Yeah, that's good. And I think fear definitely is a piece. I know for me, this is probably the big one, is I'm always in the back of my mind, well, was that question too personal, or did I step on their toes with that question? So just even a fear of offending or a fear of confronting on a level that might make people uncomfortable. And so I think this kind of gets at the point of, again, relationship. Do we have the kind of relationship where we are free to do that with one another? And even if it is, you know, a question is unhelpful, that we're honest with each other and say, yeah, that question wasn't very helpful. And so we know, it's like, okay, I asked a bad question. Let me try it again. And instead of just kind of living in our head and being fearful and not even jumping in and asking questions.
The formation piece is so huge. I'm thinking back to a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I, after Gospel Community, ended up having a conversation for about a half an hour simply because a gal in the community asked her a specific question. It was actually a follow-up question, so it was, which is also something to talk about, asking good follow-up questions. But it was a follow-up question that she had asked, which was it was borderline confrontational, and she was kind of like not maybe coming at her, but she was curious in a sense of love, but she was saying, could it be because of this, which caused my wife to actually evaluate, which caused us to have a further conversation, which formed her spiritually in huge ways. Right. So I think we miss out spiritually when we are not willing to answer good questions. And then therefore, if we're not willing to ask them as well.
So this is a hot tip for gospel communities right here. Hot tip, gospel community, hot tip.
Hashtag
hot tip. The key difference, I think, between information and formation is the difference between a question that has a right answer and a question that provokes deeper reflection. And this is where, like, I've worked with various staff members for years trying to help them write small group questions. And this is one of the hardest skills to develop, even in putting together content, is instead of asking, you know, what does this passage say about X, which is a right or wrong, you know, you're either right or wrong. If you're asking, what does this passage say, you're either right or wrong. You know, if you're asking, you know, what's the biblical view on this, usually people are either overly confident that they know the right answer or fearful that they don't. And so those questions don't get a lot of traction. But if you ask questions like, hey, as you read this passage, what stands out to you? What bothers you? What challenges you? What provokes you? Now we're reading the Bible not just from the question of what's right and wrong, what are the right answers, but where is the Bible affecting me right now? Where is it stirring up discontent or longing or question? And so as you lead a gospel community, try to lean away from right answer questions and try to lean toward questions that invite reflection, that invite insight, that invite thoughtfulness. Sorry, that's me right now doing what I said at the beginning of this podcast, which is telling you what to do instead of asking you a question. So there you go. That's what a hot tip is.
Leading our leaders to do this.
Don't you feel that, why that your gospel you that? Would be better if you asked these kinds of questions?
Why do you think that, Bob?
Our next podcast is just going to all be questions. We're not going to say anything. Just ask questions.
So something that I thought that was just stirred in my mind too is I'm thinking about situations that I've been in, whether it's either me or other people, and they're really trying to ask good questions. And for whatever reason, the people being asked or the person being asked is just not having it, just not answering, not giving anything. And this can either be just they're being evasive, or it's just they're not particularly thoughtful. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate the frustration of that experience?
I think good leadership shuts that down. Honestly.
Shuts it down, meaning like we're done with this conversation?
You know what? That's a terrible question. Don't ask it again. We're done here. Close in prayer. No, I don't know. I mean, genuinely, though, like if you're feeling that, I think it would be good to just be like, hey, whoa, what? I'm curious why you just asked that. Like, I'm not tracking. Like, can we, you know, I've done that in settings, and I feel like that can be helpful. But
what about the person who doesn't answer the question? Like, they're just kind of being difficult. Well, what about that person? How do you?
Another question's not going to help them not be difficult, though. Right. You know what I mean? So, like, to continue to, you could just be like, you've already.
I think this is a place where, and again, this is a gospel community sort of piece. I think one of our fears, Chris, is creating conflict. Mm-hmm. And so because most of us are conflict averse, we don't want to keep pressing to the point where like someone gets their back up and we sort of can read the social cues that say, what do you call it? Do not disturb sign. Like, don't go here. Okay, I'll back up. People can put up sort of nonverbal don't go there signs. And we generally read those cues. Oftentimes what I'll do in a conversation like that, Chris, is just to say, hey, Chris, it seems like these questions either aren't helpful to you or bothersome to you. Can you tell me what you're feeling there? You know, like just trying to invite like, hey, obviously we're not getting anywhere in this conversation. Why is that? You know, what are you feeling offended? Are you feeling frustrated? Or do you just not, you know, it seems like there's something out of sync here. Can you talk about that? inviting that person, in other words, to a deeper level of like, is this bothersome to you? And oftentimes that either creates good conflict where people are like, actually, yeah, you guys are pissing me. Like, you're frustrating me because I don't want to talk about this stuff right now. And you keep asking, and that, mm-hmm. you know, then it's sort of like, okay, hey, we love you. We don't need to go there now. Let's back up. And, or it might be a, hey, tell us why that's frustrating to you. We're trying to love you and we may not be doing a great job, but why does that provoke, you know, yeah. you get down into formative issues there. If you can press a little deeper and just ask, instead of trying to ask the question better, just asking, mm-hmm. hey, why are these questions frustrating to you? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, sometimes that's the whole conversation that the Spirit has ordained, right? Like, hey, let's just have a panoramic view of this conversation and talk about why is this conversation actually so difficult, you know?
I remember my friend Katie, who's been in gospel community with me for a few years now, reminded me of this a few weeks ago. There was an early, early gospel community when she was a brand new Christian and wrestling with all kinds of stuff related to Jesus. And she was expressing, I don't know, she was struggling with depression or discouragement or despair or something. And she shared that in our gospel community. And someone across the room gave a very like platitudinous, well-meaning, but sort of shallow and Christian-y answer. And I could see that Katie just shut down. Like she was too polite to say that really didn't help me. But she really felt like that's just like completely missing where I'm at in terms of my soul. Like she was being very, very vulnerable. And so I sort of let that sit for a couple seconds. And then I remember what I did is I asked Katie, hey, Katie, was that helpful to you? And she just went off. She was like, no, that was absolutely not. Like, and she said that moment for her was so helpful to be able to, instead of moving on and sort of leaving her alone in that sort of like, I just was vulnerable and somebody, you know, didn't really help me, inviting her to say to the group, like, hey, let's talk about that. Why wasn't it helpful? And it was actually really good for the person who said that to recognize, oh, gosh, I totally missed a chance to love this person. And what I thought was helpful wasn't helpful. That's kind of the beauty of when you get into a rich and robust conversation sometimes just by asking questions, is you can stir things up that the Spirit's doing that if we sort of back off, we often miss those opportunities. Dusty, let's go even into the category of counseling. And when we say counseling in this podcast, we just mean helping one another experience healing and redemption. So we're not using it in sort of a formal sense, but more of an informal sense. David Pallison, who writes a lot about counseling, has this category of X-ray questions of just trying to get us to ask questions about what is it that drives us and shapes us and where we find identity and meaning. And I know that that book and that section where he talks about X-ray questions have been helpful to us in thinking about how to get people reflecting on issues of idolatry, issues of motivation. What insightful things can you share with us from David Pallison?
Yeah, he's been super helpful to us. He says, he gives this list of questions in chapter 7 of Seeing with New Eyes, which is a book that, Bob, as you mentioned, has been super helpful to us. And he says that the questions that you ask should really stem from the main question of who or what is your functional God, capital G or lowercase g. And you should listen for the answers because they're going to point to certain idolatrous behavior. And then he says, if you're answering those questions, don't just run to the Christian right answer without first working hard and honestly to analyze deviant functional gods. And this is a huge statement. He says, intelligent repentance will make the right answers really right, and they will make the love of Jesus your joy and your hope. And so he's saying, like, as people are interacting either in counseling or in discipleship, the questions that you ask and the way in which you answer them, you're either going to answer them rightly, like because of your theology and because you know your Bible or because you just know the right answer, or you're going to actually do the work to actually analyze what is my answer to this question. And this is how I actually feel. And thanks for asking, you know? Yeah. So some of those questions, get around desire. They get around our needs. They get around our feelings. So his list of questions is super helpful. So Bob, let me ask you some of these questions. Are you ready? What do you feel like doing right now?
Drinking this water.
See? It's a feeling question. And he just drank the water, Chris.
He did.
You can't see that on your podcast as you're driving down the road, but he did do it. Chris, what do you think you need? What are your felt needs?
I need to hire an assistant right now. Not going to lie about that one.
Mike, what do you love? What do you hate?
Oh, man.
Don't look at me like that.
See, and you can't say
that
Chinese
question
food.
Gets you going real quick. What would bring you the greatest pleasure, happiness, delight? What would bring you the greatest misery right now?
These questions from Pallison are really good, like deep conversation questions. Mm-hmm. Like when you're really trying to get down and have a conversation, what really makes you tick? And what's your life made up of? And what things drive you? These aren't questions you probably want to throw out at the dinner table, you know. But in a conversation that's meaningful, whether it's discipleship or counseling or care, and you're really trying to cultivate some intimacy with other people and understand mm-hmm. one another. And these things go way down to the core of what drives us. And what I like about that chapter is that it raises the importance of questions. I mean, really what he's saying is these questions help us evaluate functional idolatry, help us get down to the core of our motivations. Whereas if he just wrote a chapter on here's 20 idols and how to identify them, we would have the information, but we wouldn't experience the discovery. And so what Pallison's trying to set us up with here is here are questions that not only, you know, identify the concept of idolatry, but that help us get down to the core of, I don't know, Dusty, what do I want? What does make me happy or mm-hmm. angry, or what am I feeling right now? And what does that say about what's driving me? All right. So guys, let's end like this. What can I do to become a more thoughtful question asker? What are some just practical, how do I strengthen my skills?
I think one easy thing right away is to just ask the question subconsciously, why am I about to ask this question? You know, before you're actually about to ask a question, to ask yourself real quickly, why am I about to ask this? Why do I care? The why question is super helpful.
Mm. Maybe kind of going back to the exercise that you did that one time, before you just sort of purpose in the conversation, before you make a declarative statement, say, I'm going to ask five questions before, and maybe you start to, as you get better at that, kind of add the list. So where you're up to like, hey, before I make a declarative statement, I'm going to ask 10 questions, but start small. What's manageable? 5, 3, whatever. But just purpose that, man, out of the gun, this is what I do before I ever make a declarative statement.
That idea of practice was so helpful to me when I had to go through that training, and you don't get to make a declarative statement. I think as evangelicals, we tend to undervalue the importance of just like practicing different skills, you know? So like being forced to say, you can talk for an hour, you may not make a declarative statement, was really helpful to me to go, gosh, I have to think hard to ask a question. Like this is, but if I work on it, I really can have a conversation that's only questions, you know? So I appreciate that insight, Chris, of just that actually cultivating a discipline here can be helpful. I would add cultivating a true gospel curiosity. For me, what this means is like repenting of my lack of love, repenting of the I don't care thing in me, Dusty, and trying to enter into like, man, I try to enter into each day in my morning times of prayer, just acknowledging, God, here's the conversations I'm going to have. Here's the people I'm going to be with. Help me to love them and be present. And what I find is that when the Holy Spirit answers that prayer, I do find myself more curious. And so I don't have to try to ask questions. I'm just like, I actually want to know the answer. I want to know this stuff. I want to draw you out and understand where you're coming from and have a sense of meaningful interaction with you. So if you're a leader, you need to learn to ask questions. And I hope this podcast has been useful either in provoking that awareness for the first time or taking it a little deeper in some practical ways for you.
Thanks for joining the conversation. We hope that you join us next week. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. And we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context.